All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you what's really behind Antonio Brown's public meltdown.
And if Jerry Jones is starting to sound desperate. But we start every day with a Whitlock. So what you got today, big dog?
Marcellus, I have a cautionary tale for the Arizona Cardinals. Speculation out of the NFL Combine is that the Cardinals are determined to take undersized Heisman Trophy quarterback Kyler Murray with the number one pick. Murray is the ideal passer for first-year Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury's pass-happy system. The belief is the Cardinals will trade second-year quarterback and 2018 first-round pick Josh Rosen to make room for Murray. Well, I'd like to share a bit of history with the Cardinals before they make such a bold move. In 1981, the New Orleans Saints hired Bum Phillips to install the system that made him famous as the head coach of the Houston Oilers. Bum set the city of Houston and the NFL on fire by unleashing a running game led by Earl Campbell. When Bum got to New Orleans, the Saints decided that South Carolina's Heisman Trophy winning running back, George Rogers, was the perfect back for Bum's run-happy system. Midway through the 1980 season, the Saints traded their former first-round pick, running back Chuck Muncy. And so, with the very first pick of the 1981 NFL Draft, the Saints selected George Rogers. Anybody want to guess who the number one pick was in 1981?
Who?
Number two pick, I'm sorry. Lawrence Taylor, linebacker, North Carolina. Everyone knew LT was the best player in the 1981 draft. There was no debate. The Saints were stupid for taking him. At the top of any draft, regardless of the sport, take the best player. The best player in this draft is Ohio State defensive end Nick Bosa. I'm not saying he's the next Lawrence Taylor, but he could be the next J.J. Watt. Bosa said the Cardinals would be making a big mistake if they passed on him.
I wouldn't say anything about Kyler. I would just say that I'm somebody who loves the game more than anybody. I'm going to come in and I'm going to work every day, every practice, trying to find new things to better myself. So if you do draft me, then you'll have somebody who's going to improve throughout my entire career.
No one questions whether Nick Bosa is going to be a successful NFL player. There's a debate about how great he will be. Will he be as good as his older brother, Joey, the Chargers star? Most people believe Nick is a better prospect than Joey, who has 28 sacks in his first 35 NFL games. Nick is a 6'4", 260-pound defensive end. His quickness, agility, athleticism, and power are all ideal. He was invented to play defensive end. Kyler Murray, he was invented to play shortstop and football. I don't believe in systems. I believe in players. You draft players and put them in the right system. It's foolish to be a slave to a system and let the system dictate all of your actions. This is especially true at the top of the draft. You get the rare opportunity to take the best player in all of football and you pass because of your system. That's how mistakes are made. That's how the New York Giants landed Lawrence Taylor and the Saints wound up with a very good running back. Rodgers and Taylor were equals as rookies. Rodgers won the Offensive Rookie of the Year and Taylor won the Defensive Award. From there, Taylor went on to establish himself as one of the 10 greatest players in NFL history. George Rodgers is still one of the greatest college running backs of all time. The Cardinals should take Nick Bosa. Joining the desk now, former Pro Bowl defensive back D'Angelo Hall, Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt. Marcellus, I'll start with you. Should the Cardinals take Nick Bosa over Kyler Murray?
No, they should take Kyler Murray. One, if there are similar comps, I'm always going to go with the quarterback over the defensive lineman. And that's coming from a former defensive lineman.
That's big right there.
Yeah, I know the limit we have in terms of impact on the game. And there is a limit. Let's talk about what his comps are. Also, if you're talking about Kyler Murray, a lot of people like you who think there's a height requirement to play the position. One, Russell Wilson will disagree. One of my former teammates, Drew Brees, will disagree. And being built for two sports is a compliment, not a detriment, because Russell Wilson was built for two sports, and look how that turned out. For the comp, which is Kyler Murray, who's a faster, more athletic, stronger arm, better pocket presence quarterback leaving the collegiate game than one Russell Wilson was. So you say all those things, I'll give you this last scenario in terms of what a quarterback can do and what a defensive lineman could do. Of the top 11 pass rushers last year by sack totals, five of those made the playoffs, and more than half of them did not. But let's talk about the Final Four in football, AFC, NFC championship games. Let's see who we're playing quarterback. Let me think. Some MVP candidates, I think. Mahomes, ooh, Brees, ooh, Goff, ooh, Brady, damn. Top four scoring offenses all in the Final Four football. Hey, if you got something that's comparable, go quarterback over D-lineman every day.
Yeah, it's prerequisite, right? I mean, that's how you build a championship. It's Algebra 1 before Algebra 2. You got to have the quarterback before you get the requisite pieces around that. And listen, there are a couple of teams that have gone an alternate route to win a championship. I think maybe you could argue Seattle did it, even though Russell was terrific during their Super Bowl years, but they relied heavily on defense. You can for sure say that Baltimore did it with their great Hall of Fame laden defense on every level. It wasn't just one defensive end or one linebacker or one safety. Remember, Baltimore had Hall of Fame level players on every level of their defense.
So you got to get the first one first.
When their defense led them to a championship.
You got to get one first.
I would argue that Peyton Manning was to a point in his career where his defense in Denver led them to a Super Bowl championship. Now, again, they had great players all over, all pros and man coverage on the outside like Chris Harris and Aqib Talib to go along with guys like Von Miller up front. I'm saying all that to tell you, the road to winning a Super Bowl based on your defense is few and far between. It is very narrow. But the road to winning a Super Bowl, because you've got a great marriage between a dynamic quarterback and a great head coach, that is the wide road. That's where the most lanes are open, and I think that's the marriage between Kyler and Cliff.
My only problem is you're not a quarterback away. If you were a quarterback away in Arizona, I'd say, all right, guys, let's do it. Let's make this move. And I understand giving Cliff Kingsbury the pieces he needs to be successful is essential in this, in saying if he feels like, hey, I think Kyler Murray can execute my offense to the way I envision it,
yeah,
then, yeah, that holds a lot of weight. But, man, to have a guy like Bosa as a defensive guy and a guy that, you know Bosa's going to be there for the next 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years if he stays healthy. He's not one of those guys where we have to see, hey, well, is he going to be this? Is he going to be that? Is this going to work? Like, that quarterback position, yes, it is essential in the National Football League to be successful. You need a quarterback. But like Whit said, you got to start somewhere.
Sure.
And this is a piece that I feel like you cannot miss with him.
Well, why not last year? I thought we started last year when you moved up in the draft with the 10th pick and you went and got Josh Rosen, who had a horrible rookie campaign but still has tremendous talent at the position. So I'm not going to marry Kyler Murray to the words of a coach who was playing him in a collegiate game thinking I was still going to be a collegiate coach or coordinator.
Yeah.
I'm not going to marry the organization to those words. Those are just glowing remarks you make about any opponent, especially a Heisman Trophy candidate.
However, but if you are evaluating Kyler just as a quarterback, okay, and I know people, I get it that people are hung up on his height. I understand that. Now, 5'10", I think, alleviates some of that rather than 5'9". I think alleviates some of that. Maybe not all, but some. Now, hold on. If he was 6 foot and an eighth, I think we'd be talking about him as a generational talent. Hold on now. He's the best passer coming out in the draft.
He started 1 year.
He's the best passer coming out in the draft.
He started 1 year.
And
he's
also, hold on now, he's also historically one of the great running quarterbacks that we've ever seen. I didn't say just this year. I said ever seen. You can go back and you can dig. I'm talking about the numbers of Lamar Jackson and Michael Vick and Vince Young and RG3 and Cam Newton.
What quarterback has run to a Super Bowl in the NFL?
I'm just telling you right now, when you put together the acumen that he has thrown the football, i.e., he's the top-rated passer in every single category in the college level on 3rd and 7+, and when he's down by a score. Those are the two biggest.
I'm just telling you,
those two together.
Joel,
he's a generational talent.
Let me ask you this.
he's more of a generational talent than Bosa is.
Which one can't miss? Which
Kyler
one?
Kyler is.
No.
All right.
Can't miss. It's more can't miss than Nick Bosa.
In today's
Nick
NFL.
Bosa, if you had to bet right now who's going to play in the most Pro Bowls, Nick Bosa or Kyler Murray?
If the Pro Bowl meant anything, I would answer that question.
It just means
if you want to ask me who's going to be more impactful for their team for the next 10
now
years,
we're
it's
talking.
Kyler Murray.
Greater upside, greater impact, greater potential of making a difference,
greater chance of flopping.
You're playing scared money that doesn't make money. And that's what most NFL evaluators do. They are so risk averse, they're like, where's the mutual bond. Where's the stock? No. That's too risky. Let's go back to the mutual bond. Okay. Oh, there we go. Safe. I know he's going to be there. D-line. If worse come to worse, I can hide him in the interior.
And
if,
no one's going to criticize me.
Look, this is I chose the safe bet. Come on, man.
This is my problem. I think Kyler Murray's going to be a great pro, without a doubt. I just don't think Arizona has enough pieces around to make him successful.
That's a more interesting discussion, actually.
I like that one.
That's my only point.
Why would you?
Are we just saying because the coach runs a college style offense?
I would trade down and get more pieces. I need a lot. I would trade the number.
I would go get the one player in the draft that I know is going to be a great player.
I don't think there's even consensus that he's the best defender. I think some would tell you Quinnen Williams is the tackle from Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue position, need, things like that. But I just wouldn't jump and take Kyler Murray, one, just because he's a quarterback. I do think he's a great player. But even to hear Joel say, well, you know, if he was 5'9", we'd be having this. Or if he's 5'10", or 6 feet. Like when people say, oh, this dude ran a 4.4, this dude ran a 4.6. If the average fan knew how close that is, how just another – inch and a half of my arm length will alleviate my 4.6 versus your 4.4. Like, it's such microscopic details. And when we get to the combine, I think everyone nitpicks and pulls at every little thing. Put the film on.
Yeah.
And that's what I go back to.
Not blindly, though.
I put Kyler's film on, and he can play.
Don't minimize that inch. Don't minimize that step. Barry Sanders sat me down, and I was blessed to be in his presence as a young player. And he told me, you know the difference between a 6-yard loss and a 60-yard touchdown? He's like, you're out of your gap this much. Think about it. Watch how many great plays you see. And, oh, Eli's heroic pass in the Super Bowl was inches away. Like, that stuff adds up. Now, I hate when we minimize.
I don't want to minimize it either, but you also need guys to exploit that type of space. Right. I think Nick Bosa is one of those guys. Listen, I think Nick Bosa is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I will say this, and this is probably the most unpopular thing that I'll say. I think the New York Giants made a massive mistake last season.
I said that.
And I can also say that Saquon Barkley was my favorite player in the draft last year. Those two things can be true.
Yep.
Saquon can be unbelievable, and the Giants can have made a massive mistake in the draft. You got to get the quarterback first.
Another prospect.
Yeah. No. You have to get the great player first.
How'd that work out for the Giants? Because the last I checked, they're still selecting way up near the top of the draft, and Cleveland's not. Mm.
I would just say, Joe, to argue that point for Witt, a running back is a lot different than a pass rusher.
Yeah, that's true. More impactful for a pass rusher.
As impactful. Right. If we've seen what Khalil Mack did for Chicago, we're watching Aaron Donald do what he's doing now.
That was a top defense even before Khalil Mack got there, and then he just took him over the hump.
Way over the hump.
Well, to what hump? They lost in the first. They went to the playoffs.
It's something to build on.
Yeah, definitely something to build on.
That's what I feel like they should be trying to do in Arizona. It's build on some things. And yeah, Kyler Murray is a beast. I mean, when I watch him play, I mean, he is amazing to watch.
I'm not sitting here saying Kyler Murray won't be a great NFL player. Maybe he will be. But there's a bunch of measurables and things that say, I'm a little worried. And when I look at Nick Bosa, I have no fear. And this whole deal of Cliff Kingsbury, who failed at Texas Tech, and now because his system that failed at Texas Tech, we're going to bring it to the NFL, and we got to get the perfect quarterback to run the system that failed at Texas Tech. We got to bring it to the NFL.
But again, I think Kyler's better than that. He's not just a fit for one system. Like I said, he's the best passer in the draft.
Who else is trying to go up there to get him? Nobody.
John Gruden would go up there in a heartbeat. There's several of them.
Derek Carr is getting potentially shot for what reason?
There are people trying. Yeah. I will say this. You were covering this team. Kansas City had maybe the second greatest player that I've ever seen on a football field behind Lawrence Thomas for how many years? When Derek Thomas was on the field, man, there was nobody more explosive and nobody better. But guess what? It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know why? Mm-hmm. Kansas City had no one to pull the trigger.
Yep.
For how many years? And you covered
that team. Say it.
I get it. It's great to have a quarterback. It is really great to have one that's 6'3", 6'4".
I mean, how'd that work out for Dave Craig? Great, he could see over the line. How many Super Bowls you win?
A great one. And Kyler Murray may be it, but we're going all in on Cliff Kingsbury's system. How'd that work out for Texas?
Well, all I will say is if they both hit D lineman and quarterback, which one's going to give you greater success? As you look at all the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks of the last two decades, there are only a few names, and they're all future Hall of Famers: Brady, Ben, Peyton, Eli, Breeze, Rodgers, Russell Wilson. Very few outliers when you talk about Flacco and Brad Johnson, and you could throw Nick Foles in the middle and figure out where he's going to be once he's in Jacksonville. Point is, roll the dice for both. If they both hit, which one's going to give you the most success? We know that answer.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. D'Angelo Hall is back with us. Time for a big story. Sponsored by Papa John's, two medium, one-topping pizzas, just $6 each. All right, let's move to Pittsburgh, where Antonio Brown's future is still up in the air. AB's friend Larry Fitzgerald said this weekend that the receiver doesn't know how good he's got it with the Steelers. But Brown had even more to say about the situation, making an appearance on LeBron's The Shop and doing an in-depth interview with ESPN's Jeff Darlington that should give any suitors pause about trading for the All-Pro.
I don't even have to play football if I don't want, bro. I don't even need the game. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to prove nothing to anyone. If they want to play, they're going to play by my rules. If not, I don't need to play. I would have liked for me and Ben to be cool. You know what I mean? I thought we was cool. But when I think, I've been in his house one time. He's been in my house one time. You know what I mean? We don't work out in the offseason. It's like, yo, if we really want to win, you think that's winning? That's not winning. That's not a winning culture.
Question here is like, what is the motivation? What is AB trying to accomplish? I got a little bit of a curveball.
Let's go.
I'm not sure he wants out of Pittsburgh. I think he's done these interviews trying to destroy his trade value.
Nah. You think so? I'm listening, Kiko.
I just think sometimes it's like you break up with somebody. Yeah. And then they just keep talking about the relationship. I'm over it, but I'm going to keep talking about it.
Well, I think that his full motivation is to expose all the BS that is going on in his relationships with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's from upstairs all the way on the field. To expose them all. Now, what does that mean? In our day-to-day relationships, we love to say, get it off your chest. Say it all. Let's get it out in our moment of adversity. But we don't ask our athletes to do the same thing. We want them in their team relationships to give us doses or don't say anything at all. But he plays a dependent position. I've seen it before, and I think AB is getting caught in saying it this time, that our quarterback took out our personal relationship that we didn't really have a great one for last year for sure, and took it out on the field and took it out to the media. Case in point. When you look at him in terms of their relationship and chemistry, there was a disruption this year. There was something different. Even though he had a lot of targets, he's saying, hey, how can I go out there in the first quarter and not get a pass thrown? I don't know. Maybe he's thinking in his eyes that my quarterback is acting out. And I've seen it before where a quarterback is just like, I'm kind of cool on you for whatever reasons. And you know why he's not fully saying that? You know why he's getting caught up in the language, the language display of what he's really trying to say? It's because he's trying to protect Juju. He's trying to protect the little respect he has for those in that locker room. And he's not going full out display on it. But he's just calling out Ben in subtle and simple ways. And I'm starting to hear it.
I mean, I think his motivation simply is to get his side of the story out. For the longest time, we were always speculating, what's going on in that building? What's going on in that building? And now he gets the opportunity to express how he feels. Mm. That's why any chance somebody puts a mic in his face, AB, I don't think he wants to stay in Pittsburgh. I don't think he's being advised properly in from the standpoint of he's ruining his trade leverage.
He is doing that.
He has none at this point. Because guys aren't going to want to deal with the person. The football player is a beast in itself, can go out and make a lot of plays. But the person who people are seeing is AB. That's the guy who's going to be.
He still has trade value.
It's going to be tough
for
teams.
He's caught between Dez Bryant and where T.O. was in terms of. But look at the film.
How early did they run T.O. out the league? And say if T.O. would have said, man, I don't need football. You're going to play by my rules.
Yeah.
You think all them owners want to hear that?
Look, I am not raising my hand and saying that AB's doing this the right way. But what's his motivation here is to expose everything. And if we get it all out, then let's see if we can still do this again.
I think he's definitely trying to let people know, hey, look. Yes, I was wrong, but he hasn't said that, and that's what I think needs to be said. Yes, I was wrong in this, but hey, this is what else is going on. This is how he was wrong, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because when you're a star like that, though, Whit, you want the same just and respect as the next guy, especially a guy like AB. When he sees Ben get away with stuff or them say, hey, yeah, Ben, you know, these are his 52 kids, he took personal took an exception to that because that was personal for him. He's like, man, I got kids, and that's the last thing as a young man you want to be called as a kid.
I agree with that. But then let's don't act like one. Let's don't bring Facebook Live and do – I mean, again, there's a lot of stuff about AB that's been reported. People don't like to talk about it. But he's got issues that extend well beyond football in his dealings with other human beings, and there's a consistent problem. So you got to act like a grown man to get talked to like one and treated like one. And I just wonder, and I hear y'all, that perhaps he is so hurt, he's such a scorned lover that he just wants to tell it all. Mm-hmm. But clearly we all integrate. This is just bad business.
Oh, it's bad business. But you know what? This is where I do support him. And I know it's a bad look. This is not how you want your image to be wasted and disposed of when you're that great on the field. Mm-hmm. But I've heard this narrative. And it's funny, I always say he's trying to protect Juju in a lot of respects because he loves the little man, his protege. Think about this. Juju had two fewer targets than AB. Most people who didn't really watch every single game would say, one, Juju is playing great, and two, because AB's getting double covered. You know what AB says to that? I was getting double covered for 5 years, and nobody ever was comparable to me in terms of targets and got more yards than me. But what happened this year? What he's trying to say is what happened this year is a relationship got in the way and all of a sudden started to promote somebody who I love and respect who's getting it, but it's not AB. And y'all not going to dive into why that is. It's because of these relationships.
Ben's argument back would be like, man, I got to make better decisions and can't be about just pleasing one guy.
No, he won't, because he would throw a ball into a D lineman and just say, you run a better route.
So you telling me Ben so vindictive that he won't throw AB the ball?
Man, have you not seen that? You played enough football. You ever heard the receiver
play? I mean, not when it comes to trying to win a football game.
I'm not going
game.
To that
You know
extreme.
What, though?
It plays
now,
itself.
In I'm practice, sorry. Can I teach you a lesson
Ben
a little bit?
Ben can be that maybe. Petty. I would agree with that. Ben can be that petty and that silly. I would agree. This is two immature people.
Here's something interesting. Studies show that security systems deter burglars. It's a fact, but there's still a burglary every 8 seconds in America. How? Well, think about it. Do burglars give up just because some houses have security systems? Of course not. They just find a house that isn't protected. That's why securing your home is truly a necessity. So let me recommend this brilliant security system built by my friends at SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe believes fear has no place in a place like home, so they made their system ridiculously smart. SimpliSafe sensors will protect every point of access to your home, doors, windows, garage, you name it. If a burglar even tries to break in, an ear-shattering siren will let them know the police are already on the way. Best of all, SimpliSafe's 24-hour monitoring is just $14.99 a month, and they'll never lock you in a long-term contract. More than 3 billion people already know it feels good to fear less with SimpliSafe. So go with the only home security I trust, SimpliSafe, by going to simplisafe.com/speak. Go today and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe.com/speak for the home security I trust, simplisafe.com/speak.
All right, welcome back, Whitlock and Wiley. D'Angelo Hall is back with us. Let's move to Indianapolis, where Jerry Jones was at the NFL scouting combine this weekend and made it clear that his quest for another championship is more urgent than ever, saying, quote, this is my 30th combine and I don't have 30 more. He also added that aside from his family's health, nothing means more to him than winning another Super Bowl. I think Jerry's making a bit of a mess here by being so transparent with his desperation. I think his actions have said it in terms of bringing Jason Witten out of retirement, going out and getting Amari Cooper. I just wonder if Jason Garrett, if that locker room is built for the kind of pressure that Jerry's putting on him. It's win or bust this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. This mindset, I think, is trying to convey to fans how desperate I am, how much I'm invested, how much I want to win. But I'm a little saddened by this mindset, actually, because this is a guy that seems like he's not counting the three Lombardi trophies he's won, but he's counting the one he doesn't have that has escaped him. And he's a Hall of Fame owner, one of the Dundadas in sports in terms of influence on the game, impact, business, value of franchise, like a great. And I'm not saying smell the roses and be complacent, but at the same time, you don't have to be this transparent in your desperation.
Jimmy gets the credit for them Super Bowls.
Well, look, Jimmy had a boss, too. And look, that's my point. The naysayers and the critics are telling him instead of him telling them. And if I had that accolade, if I had that level of success, trust me, I'm dictating the narrative.
For 20 years, they've been saying Jimmy, not Jerry.
You're right. And that's why the next one to him means so much, because he would have felt like, I have my fingerprints all over this.
He had one, Barry Switzer. Put your fingerprints on that. This is not Kobe, Shaq, and Shaq won one without Kobe, and then Kobe had to go back. Like, you already won one without Jimmy Johnson if you want to go that lane. That's not my lane. Only 12 teams have won a Super Bowl since Jerry Jones won his last one. It's not going around the entire league and lapping him. It's very few teams, and one of them, half of them, from one team and one coach and one player. So, respect, Jerry.
See, but that Super Bowl means so much in the realm of the football world that I heard Jerry say, look, it's not about billions, not millions, billions, not about billions anymore. I want another Super Bowl. So for him to say that, like, he's letting guys in that locker room know how urgent he feels like he wants this ring, this trophy.
Too bad the locker room ain't saying the same. Well, you got $5 million. You talking about you don't want another one?
You know what I mean?
I'll take that.
It ain't that they're not saying that, but, you know, I feel like he's letting those guys know, like you said, a little bit of pressure. But pressure sometimes brings out the best in some of those guys. You don't think Jason Witten being in that locker room is going to inspire somebody, some guy on that team, to just do a little bit more?
Is it really pressure when it's redundant? Like, we break every mini camp. Hey, championship on three. Like, every team is already thinking about going out there and trying to win.
This is a different level. Because of Jerry's stature in the league, because the Cowboys are still America's team, the number one TV ratings draw. Mm-hmm. And look, man, and Jerry's saying, I don't know how much longer I can do this. And Marcellus, I think what you're underestimating is Jerry feels like, as a football mind, he is the equal of Jimmy Johnson. Not in the X's and O's deal, but he's his equal, and he doesn't get that level of credit. And he feels like he's built a great team here, a great defense. They've done all the right things. And if he can just get one more Super Bowl, he will get his full proper credit.
You're chasing your tail. It's amazing. Everyone wants credit. What does credit get you? Things. Guess what you have? Championships. Point to the things you got instead of trying to credit to get you those things. It's amazing that we are allowed, and he's allowing us, to have the criticism internalized through what his words and his actions are. If I'm Jerry Jones, I am always in full effort of winning the championship. Why say more? What else is there to say? We know you're invested.
DeAndre, I want your take on this. This is my take. I don't think the greatest of the greats don't ignore their critics. They eat all that up, and it drives them. So Jerry's competing with Robert Kraft, man. And he's swallowing all that criticism.
You better point to your team valuation or something, because you ain't going to catch Kraft right now.
Nah, but I'm with you on that. Like you said, he won those, but now it's about, look, he sees those guys in New England winning year after year and what they've been able to, I guess, build.
Yes.
And he's done it, like you said, he wants people to know, hey, I'm a pretty sharp football mind too, and you take New England out of it, I mean, Jerry has a team that I feel like over the next couple years, that young, talented football team, they've done a good job. They just have to get over the hump. And I don't know if it's next year. Still got questions about Dak, but
you can't talk your way over the hump.
You're right. You can't talk your way, but you can talk some motivation into some other guys.
Oh, I respect that. But guess what? Jerry's been saying this same message.
He hadn't been this desperate. This almost sounds like Jerry had found out something that we don't know about yet. This what it sounds like.
I don't want to go to that level.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it sounds like Jerry, like, really is sitting around contemplating, like, man, like, I know I'm not going to be there much longer.
Whether he's got health issues or not, you do that at his age.
Yeah.
And you also do that when you feel like, hey, man, I've put the perfect plan together. Everybody said I don't have patience with my head coach. I've been patient with this coach. Everybody says we don't know what we're doing in the draft. No. Go evaluate what we're doing in the draft. We know exactly what we're doing in the draft. We have built, in his mind, he's built a team the way New England did. They got this quarterback that they're trying to develop who's not a high draft pick, but they're trying to develop, and they put all the pieces around him. Now Amari Cooper, Zeke Elliott, and now they're bringing Jason Witten back. They got an offensive line. I've done it all.
And then you hear that from Jerry Jones, no disrespect, but, hey, locker room, y'all need to win a championship. We trying, bro. I may not be here too long. We said we're trying. Like, there's nothing coming from that translates anymore. We know you're invested. You're Jerry Jones. We play in Jerry's world. I just don't understand.
You know what's going to happen? To us, the media.
To leave him alone?
No.
Call him out?
To recognize what he's doing.
I mean, a big thing that Dallas Cowboy team was missing was leadership. So now Jason Witten, when times get tough, can go in that locker room and say, hey, guys, like, we got to go out here and get this. Like, we got to get this for this person, for that person, for this. Like,
get in the end zone.
It seems so cliche now, but, like, dudes love that kind of atmosphere when you get into a locker room in a team setting. So,
all right, elsewhere at the Combine, former Penn State quarterback Trace McSorley got the Lamar Jackson treatment this weekend. Being asked to work out with the defensive backs, McSorley declined, saying he's a quarterback, period. And his former teammate, Saquon Barkley, tweeted that the request was, quote, so disrespectful. All right, listen, anytime any of these inaccurate throwers run a little bit, get asked to play another position, I'm disrespected. No, you're not. You're actually respected. Mm-hmm. We brought you here to the Combine to see if you can play a little quarterback. But if you can't, there's something else we might want to have you do. Have you heard of Julian Edelman? Mm-hmm. Maybe you can be that guy, or maybe you can heard of Tony Dungy.
Yeah.
He went from quarterback to defensive back. It's not disrespectful. I'm actually glad it happened because it's a white quarterback, and so now we can stop with all this, oh, they only ask black quarterbacks to switch positions. No, they'll do it to anybody who's inaccurate and can run.
Yeah, exactly. And look, they did it to one of my teammates, and he gladly accepted it. Matt Jones, if y'all remember him. Who?
Yeah.
Matt Jones. Matt Jones was a quarterback. Sucker was tall, 6'6", like 230.
Yeah,
could jog a 4'3", 4'4". Oh, I'll play some receiver and went out there and became a first rounder. So, It's not racial, y'all. This one is just, hey, if
still they, terrible.
Like you
but,
said, if you're inaccurate.
You think it's terrible?
No, I said Matt Jones was
Matt
terrible.
Matt Jones, yeah, he didn't live up
terrible,
to it.
Terrible, but
he
I
didn't have to win. He didn't have to win.
I agree with that.
But I will say this. The crazy thing is, this is not disrespectful. This is just an absence of respect. I don't respect you as a quarterback. And you know what? I'm giving you a way in. And this is no Tim Tebow. This is no Lamar Jackson. Those are Heisman Trophy winners at a position.
Now, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Good for you. And they had the best running game with Saquon Barkley, and they got a beast coming out this year. A lot of what they did was predicated on the running game.
Let me jump in and say one thing about Trace McSorley, though. I've seen this kid since he was in high school, all right, in Ashburn, Virginia. He is a winner. He won state titles in high school. Obviously, he didn't win a national championship, but Penn State was always in that conversation. He's played with great players. He's a great leader. He was a really good safety in high school as well. I think recruited for, you know, a couple of D1 schools to play safety. Obviously, he's pretty athletic. But to me, you know, it's disrespectful. From the standpoint of, man, this is what I've been doing my whole life. Give me a chance.
You just said he played safety.
To succeed. Yeah, five years ago.
So what?
So you telling me,
huh?
You telling
they
me,
told me
the
to
biggest
do
job interview of your life
not
to
me.
Play in the National Football League. I feel you,
they
man.
They told me to
but
switch.
Come on, man.
I was like,
you got to be real with yourself.
But no.
If they told Will, like, hey, man, you get behind the camera tomorrow. We're going to see how you do doing that. We're going to let somebody else sit in that seat. You don't think he's going to fight back? Like, come on,
well,
man.
He's not
serious?
An inaccurate broadcaster.
I know he's not, but I'm just saying.
That is an inaccurate passer.
But you don't know. That man could have been grinding in the lab. He might have had a perfect day where you reevaluate, man, okay.
That's a lot of pride.
This kid can't actually
they
play.
They are offering you the path of least resistance.
Are there other inaccurate quarterbacks the league that are more inaccurate than him?
Oh, yeah, but this he doesn't have the resume to fall back on to say disrespect.
He doesn't have
he started. Penn
he
State
have
for
a
like
lot of
three
stuff.
Or 4 years.
And handed it all off to Saquon Barkley.
He did more than that.
He did. But they're also saying, look, you can try that path, which is probably undrafted, low round, or maybe we can look at you at a different position and draft you mid round. Who doesn't want to at least entertain that proposition? That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you're under the belief, look, this is the National Football League. If you get in, no matter where you get in, it's a privilege. Get in where you can get in at and call it a day. This kid's under the assumption like, man, I played quarterback at Penn State. Like, yeah. Power Five Conference. I played in Rose Bowls. I won big time games. I beat guys that y'all are talking about, our first round top 10 picks. I've beaten some of these guys head up. Like, how do you feel like I can't play the position at the next level?
Because I'm not going to marry it to the narrative that Lamar Jackson and Tim Tebow, when they were requested to try other positions, because they were allowed an opportunity to fail first. They showed that they were head and shoulders above other passers coming out of the draft in different respects. He has not – who has – what is he
– ain't none of them showed none of that.
Okay.
Tebow definitely didn't show none of that.
Not only did he show that in certain – not as a thrower because it didn't look
pretty. Right. That's what
– hold on. Yeah. That's not the only part of it. Talking about leadership. You just brought up leadership. Well, yeah. I'm using your words against you.
And I'm telling you, Tracy's a good leader.
I'm talking about presence. I'm talking about his mental aptitude to play the position, his choices, the decisions on the field. Tim Tebow still was a winning quarterback in the NFL. But he wasn't allowed further opportunities.
This narrative would be different if Trace had a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, this would be different. Yeah. Now you can sit back on a resume.
No, because see, that's why I disagree. Heisman Trophy, whatever, that's
see,
all.
You're saying it doesn't matter? It matters to them, though.
No, it matters in the conversation or whatever. Oh, yes, they asked Lamar.
I'm telling you, they wouldn't. Well,
no,
maybe
the media conversation might be different, but it shouldn't be different. If you're inaccurate as a thrower and you're athletic, they're going to see if you can play another position.
That's the game.
They're going to give you a shot at playing quarterback as well. But in the back of their mind, it's like, hey, man, if you can do something else, maybe we should consider that as well. Mm. And it doesn't matter your color. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. We're joined now by a couple of NBA champions, Steven Jackson, Dante Jones. Let's move to the NBA, where the Lakers' playoff hopes are fading after an ugly loss to the NBA worst Phoenix Suns. Dropped them to 4.5 games out of the final playoff spot in the West. Even LeBron has had his struggles in Phoenix, botching an inbounds play and missing two crucial free throws later in the game. The Lakers have now dropped to 4-7 since LeBron came back from injury. All right, I'm starting to wonder if the struggles this year are going to bleed over into the offseason coming up. Will this ugly disaster of a season hurt LeBron and the Lakers this offseason in terms of being able to attract an Anthony Davis or someone else to come play or other free agents to come play here? And I do think it's going to have some impact. I think you have to – players, even an Anthony Davis, I know he's repped by Clutch, has to question, damn, how good will LeBron be in these next 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, and we got to separate Anthony Davis from other free agents because he's still under contract even next year, so that's going to be a forced play at best. Look, I don't think any of these max players who realize that the checks will be the same, so why pay the drama tax of playing with LeBron and the Lakers and this organization and all that comes with it? Whether you want to go toxic environment, Kevin Durant, or you just want to go to the Lakers organization and a lot of change and turnover in the last 6 years. Oh, coincidentally, the last 6 years looks like they won't make the playoffs for a sixth consecutive year. What happened 6 years ago? Unfortunately, the passing of Dr. Buss and the change of guard to Jim Buss to now Jeannie Buss, and no success. I mean, no success. This is a franchise that was in existence for 65 years and only missed the playoffs 5 times in 65 years. But now, with the change upstairs, they are going to go 6 consecutive years. And more importantly, the environment. Which way is up with the Lakers right now in terms of what's our future? Oh, it's the young core. Oh, let's trade them all away. No, it's LeBron. And in the 4 years, oh, we can't get another max free agent to sign on in year one. We'll see this summer. I just think there's a lot of issues going around to the tune that a lot of max players going to be looking elsewhere.
I think that it would be a situation where a max player can actually gauge his effect on an organization now. If they would have won and got to the conference finals, then it would have been something that would deter the max person because they're like, it's still LeBron's team. I'm just jumping on LeBron's ship. But now a max player can come in and say, you know what? If we go to the finals, if we go to the conference finals, I did that. I helped it. That LeBron needed me. I'm working with LeBron, not for LeBron. So I think it's something that could help the ego of a max player coming in. But you talk about the drama. That's the tax you have to pay when you have the best player in the world. And you say that LeBron's not the best player in the world. Okay. The media follows the best player in the world. The Golden State Warriors had a problem early in the year because of the tension that was going between Draymond and KD, because they're talented. They're the best team right now. And it was some it was the drama associated with them, so the media was on their back. That happens when you're good. Mm-hmm. So that tax that you're paying is paid for good teams. It's not just paid for just LeBron James. That was people before LeBron James had to pay that tax of the media attention, especially as the media is growing with social media and all other outlets right
but
now.
But attention is not the same as drama. Like,
right. Look, let's attention just make and drama go with the media. Yeah, we have to take that.
With attention, you give me an issue, we got drama. But you can have attention. Golden State for many years, no drama. Why? Because they were just getting attention and they were getting along. You don't get along. You have an issue like KD and Draymond. Now you got drama, but the attention's been there for the last few years for Golden State.
I think it goes both ways, you know. You're going to have certain players that want to go play with LeBron just to be in that Lakers system, just to have the possibility of getting a ring. Then you got some players, like you say, that don't want to deal with that media crap, don't want to be around it, especially after seeing him turn his back on all his teammates before they got traded and not handle that situation well, where walking out, coming to the game with wine and all that kind of stuff, like, that's not something your star player should do. Even though LeBron is doing a lot of stuff, he's doing it his way. You don't come to a game with wine. You don't show that you're not with the team. I think he should have took responsibility for a lot of stuff that's going on, and the team wouldn't be at disarray right now. They'll be more together. But the way he's been handling it, not taking responsibility for the way things going on, even with the Anthony Davis situation, when that was going on, when guys hearing in the back of the head, looking behind their shoulder, worrying about getting traded, if anybody could have pulled them young guys in and say, look, at the end of the day, y'all can't control what's going on. We have to stay as a team. But he didn't do that. He stood more on the side of backing Rich, his homeboy, instead of backing his teammates. And that's where all the problems started.
I push back on you on that one, because I think you've been around the NBA a long time to understand it's not just one entity. It's a group of guys.
Right.
And which you pushing out the veterans and the leadership and the voices that are able to talk to him and even tell him when he's wrong. Mm-hmm. I think David Griffin did a good job of putting together rosters where he was held accountable.
Veterans he respected.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The veteran leadership was at the bottom of the bench to hold him accountable as well, because he's not perfect. And he's never claimed to be perfect. And I've never sat here and said he's perfect. But he's had people that he's respected to be able to tell him when he's not, whether it be head coach in Tyronn Lue, whether it be the back of the bench, people that they brought in. They would have the opportunity. I had the opportunity to tell him when he was wrong. And he'll be like, you know what? My bad. But you need somebody that you respect to tell him that.
He can take that from you. But like Mike Beasley can't go off on Luke Walton in the paper.
So that's part
organizational. LeBron's supposed to shut that down from the jump. He's the only person that can do that. But you can't let the guy, Mike Beasley, that's not even playing, come in the media and go at the coach. That kills the whole team.
But you've been the best player on your team before, right?
Right.
And to have you go out there and run the bench, to run the media, to run the team, to provide all the offense, to be the leader in assists, that's too much weight for you, Stack.
He shouldn't have to run the media.
But what I'm saying is, yeah, I can handle the court stuff, but you get veterans on your bench to be able to handle the rest. David West, Golden State, like he said.
I'm going to defend a couple of their veterans. Tyson Chandler is a guy that I think should be able to have a conversation with LeBron.
Right.
I think the difference is we're dealing with a different LeBron James at 34 in Hollywood, a wine connoisseur, and I'm not joking when I say that. Every time I see him, the guy's got a glass of wine. It makes me start, hey, man, you know, what you doing here? You're in the middle of a season. And then I just think all of this, all his other extra endeavors just creates a disconnect from his actual player.
The guys on the team is too young. They can't see all that and still focus. We can.
Totally,
you know what I'm saying?
Totally
Those young agree. Guys can't see him coming to the game with wine, taking games off and all that stuff, and still stay focused now.
In the studio with 2 Chainz.
Not even that. Shout out to 2 Chainz.
New Four album bracelets.
Out. New album out. Rapper go to
and
the league.
And it's banging. Statue of limitations.
Yeah. You already said it.
Quickly.
You already said it. Act Stack about the pack. Okay. But look. Anyway, he the only one that could have fixed that, because while these young guys all over the place, he the only one that's running everything. So by not taking responsibility, by not singling out these guys, by not stepping up and saying, we not having this, Mike Beasley can't talk, not even having Luke Walton back, even if you know he's on his way out, you still have to stand there and be that guy. Perfect example. Tim Duncan, Steve Kerr, all those guys, they can get on Tim Duncan just like Pop can. I would never go up to Pop and or say something about him in the media because I have so much respect. That goes to show they have no respect for Luke Walton at all as a coach, but your best player got to demand that respect for the coach in order to win. All y'all got to buy in.
Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse, we're usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. I'm guilty of it myself, particularly when I was younger and playing football. I can remember hurting my shoulder and never telling the trainers. That turned into a real problem. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. Roman is a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/speak, fill out a brief medical onboarding, chat with the doctor, and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. That's GetRoman.com/speak. Guys, go online and get checked by the doctor. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's really easy, so take care of it. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/speak. That's GetRoman.com/speak for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/speak.
Jason Whitlock, he's Marcellus Wiley. Time to put on our thinking cap.
Gucci.
No. Steven Jackson and Dante Jones are back as well.
3 months over, dog.
As you all know, I'm a journalist. We got our resident Ivy Leaguer, Marcellus, here.
Bottom of the Ivy League.
Hey, Bob.
Below Duke. I'm just being respectful.
Below Duke.
My trash.
Top 10. Top 10.
We're going to take a deeper look at an issue in sports. We've got our special cap for our Columbia grad, Darnell, bring it in.
That Darnell.
Darnell.
What's up, baby?
Darnell playing.
It's Darnell. Baby,
you know swole. Oh, swole.
All right, let's move to the NBA.
Principalities to Darnell.
Where Commissioner Adam Silver did a wide-ranging panel at MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference this weekend, addressing all kinds of topics about the league, including its relationship with social media. Silver has been instrumental in aligning the NBA and its stars with social media, but even he sees a downside, especially when it comes to the player's mental health.
I think we live a bit in the age of anxiety.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's I've read studies on this. I think part of it is a direct product of social media.
Yes.
And I think those players we're talking about, when I meet with them, what strikes me is that they are truly unhappy. If you're around a team in this day and age, their headphones on, they're isolated and their head down.
Look, I would suggest to anybody, go check out his conversation with Bill Simmons. It's an hour. It's very good. I found it fascinating. And I found this point fascinating, that social media having a negative impact. I just don't think young people, anybody, or even older people, can suck on that much negativity and not have it have an impact on them.
I'm not blaming social media. I disagree with this. You know, it's funny that we're blaming the application, not blaming the individuals who apply it. And these famous athletes, whoever you may be, there are ways to walk through the pastures of social media and virtually go unscathed if you want to. It depends on you. Now, one, you ain't got to follow everybody. And if you do follow people you trust and respect and know. Two, you ain't got to be searching your mentions all day. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares what they thinking about you? Remember back in the days, our days, don't Google your name. Well, let me tell you, I always Google my name. I could take the hits because I know I punch a lot. So you know what? Bring it on. It's amazing that now we're going to blame it on the app instead of looking at these dudes who are maybe not of strong mind and will. It's a promotional tool. Use it appropriately.
Got a liquor store on every corner, Marcel.
No. I'm going to give you. You ready? You ready? You ready for this? But he said the headphones. I see guys. They're unhappy. Yeah. They got headphones. You know what? So also the beautiful girl at the gym and wears the headphones all day. You know why? I'm not trying to hear you Mac to me all day while I'm trying to get my workout on. Mm-hmm. Guess what? An NBA player, I'm the same way. I go to the airport, headphones on.
Glasses
I can hear
that.
You too. You know why I got them on? I want a deterrent. Please don't come up to me talking about Whitlock. I don't want that all day. Mm-hmm. That's all that is. That's not anxiety and unhappiness. Stop with that.
Hey, Whit, you know what they are? They're the old heads that my way is better than yours. You know what? Like what our parents always said to us, I don't understand how y'all doing this. You understand that you were built differently than these kids. These kids, from the door, they've had social media. So their validation is in this app. Like they've grown up in this. So I have kids, I have a son that's 13. He learns on what's good and what's not and how to act through this app. It's me as a father that has to break this down and put more effort into it and help him understand how he's supposed to be built
as
a man.
Child though.
But a lot of these kids don't have the father that he has.
They're not kids.
No. They were kids. They were built this way.
Now they're not.
No. Yeah,
It's the foundation of the individual.
Your foundation, I'm saying your foundation is strong.
Man, stop.
Because you had the validation of yourself growing up.
Me standing here today.
You didn't grow up in this.
It's totally different from my foundation, where I grew up and how I grew up. It's totally different.
It's called the self-confidence that you gather by yourself.
40, 41.
But we all got this. I'm not saying we have something different. We're talking about these kids grew up differently than us. Yeah. All of us at this table.
Well, you stop. King Solomon said nothing new under the sun. Guess what? We grew up in the media. We grew up bombarded by imagery. I grew up in
the media is different than you played.
It is different.
Everything we do is instantaneous. Are you serious?
Social media. Hold on.
Social media.
Environment. I'm talking about you can be in an environment and still find through selective perception the things that help and the things that hurt.
You're making excuses.
That's all I'm saying.
I grew up in a hood that was glamorized to be gangster where I'm from in Compton. Second of all, every song, NWA, gangster rap, every movie, everything you looked at, everywhere on the streets, people were actually wearing the S on their chest. Like, I'm super gangster. Mm-hmm. Guess what? I look beyond those things and try to find the positive.
That's still going on now. What I'm saying is,
if you can't do it on the app,
it's their self-validation. It's not their surroundings. It's not where you grew up. It's not the hood. It's nothing like that.
It's insecurities and yourself.
It's losing.
It's not being good.
Right.
It's all that stuff. It's not just one thing. A lot of these players are not that good. A lot of them don't belong in the NBA, first of all. You got a lot of players that's making money that shouldn't be making money. Let's say that. Okay? They insecure because they don't really love the game. They in the game for what the game can do for them.
We've always said that's that
okay. Well,
that,
okay. Well, that's what it is. They just social media.
That's never gonna change. You're gonna have people in for the money regardless.
It's the players themselves. It's not just social media because you have to turn that phone on.
Thank you.
First of all,
validation.
You have to hit the app.
That phone is attached to everybody here.
Okay. Let me say
it
this.
It ain't on what I want.
Let me say this though. Let me
tell you that.
Y'all are acting like all this new technology has had no impact.
I didn't say that.
And my
human are my.
Just human, everybody's.
Break it down.
Social media is so different.
You know how hard it is to do a social media fast for some people?
Yes. Thank you.
It's harder than not eating sometimes.
It's
for people to not pick up their phone and see and see what and see what and see what.
I don't blame food.
Sometimes people do. You blame the food. Okay, if you got a bad diet, don't you blame the food that's around you in your house?
Yeah, let me say this.
That's your food that's
all excuses.
No. The food that you can go get.
All that's excuses.
Let me say this. Let me finish my point. When we were kids, I'm 51, 41, 44.
44.
Particularly for me, there was one phone in my house. And you could only get on it if my mama was off the phone talking to her sister.
Yeah.
So we had one record player.
Yeah.
And so if you played music, everybody in the house had to hear it. Mm-hmm. Now everybody goes into their own individual rooms, mm-hmm. puts on their headphones, turns on their TV, looks at their cell phone or individual iPad. And so you can all be in the same house and mama could be talking and
nobody here. Yeah.
And so there's
social media
has hijacked us. And people aren't even aware of it. That this technology has disconnected us and is reprogramming us right now. And that's what Adam Silver is talking about. Because I'm not joking when I say this. I like to crack a lot of self-deprecating jokes. But I lived in a 1,300 square foot apartment with me and my mother and brother after when I was in like fifth or sixth grade. And she could be in her bedroom and hear me in the kitchen going into the cookie jar and she would holler out, "Boy, get out of that cookie jar."
Every mama had that. Every mama had that skill.
I heard worse.
She could hear. She could hear because I didn't have headphones on. I'm just saying,
I had headphones on.
It was so much easier.
Mama said, take them off.
It was so much easier for parents to be a more powerful voice than it is now.
Look how many kids go outside and play and go and have social interaction with each other. Like, that was what we did.
Yes.
You go hang with your homies and you find some toughness, some sense of pride, some source of identity amongst the people you grew up with,
right,
because it made the collection of people made you stronger.
Right.
You go figure these things out. My kids don't go play outside. I gotta force them to.
Because
they're into their own thing.
It's okay,
because
your parents force you to do some things too.
No, they forced me to come inside. That's it. They made me come in. I
didn't say what those things were. Social norms cannot be married to your kids and then dictate their future.
You gotta
separate.
So many ways to get into it.
If you letting social media dictate on what you believe and how you feel about yourself, you're
already
weak-minded.
Thank you. You're already lost. All I'm saying is that
you can't let an app tell you what to believe or how you feel about yourself with. That comes from you.
That's virtually all of America right now.
No, that's not me.
People think social media is real. They say Instagram ain't real, right?
You saying my Instagram makes me feel like who I am, make me feel better than who I am?
In ways you don't
absolutely
realize.
Not.
That's where everyone always goes to.
People in denial are the ones that...
Let me tell you why. Because if I didn't have social media, I could still go on that Chase app and feel the same way. See what I'm saying? That Instagram has nothing to do...
YouTube.
You insecure if you letting the app dictate on how
people
you live
you
and what
don't
you feel
know
about yourself.
It's just human. You're not,
unless it's
not
a Chase
weak,
app or a Wells
human.
Fargo app. That's these, different.
I'm not even going to go there.
The people inventing these apps have done research. They know exactly what they're doing. There's... The thing is going on in your brain.
It's more egg avatars than anybody. That's what y'all saying.
But you keep people dependent on a source for their identity. Like, we've been built so much, we've been built in such a great way that we don't understand how these kids are. So that's why I say, like, when rosters are built, because you gotta go have somebody strong enough to go tell them and teach them how to be a man, how to fight
that's
through the
state
of adversity. No, it's not there, and they don't have that coming in. At least I had some of it coming in by the way I grew up. So then I'm fighting half the battle. But now, they don't even have that in their tank. And that's the problem.
It just sounds like growing up.
You got it when I got to
you made a weak parenting argument or leadership argument more so than the social media blame argument.
Whitlock and Wiley, Steven Jackson and Dante Jones are back. Let's return to Adam Silver, who sat down with Bill Simmons for a panel at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference at MIT and was very candid about some issues facing the NBA. Silver said he was open to the idea of shortening the season to 70 games and also suggested replacing the preseason and the All-Star game with tournaments that can help drive more interest in the league. This is what I really loved about the whole conversation. He's aware that this 82-game schedule maybe isn't ideal, and he's open to ideas to fix it. And I like that.
Oh, my God. I don't like this.
They play 100 games in baseball, man. Golly, 82 games?
You know what I don't like about this, Whit? The premise is
like
faulty. You're trying to make these guys and creating all these little tournaments, missing all that. You're trying to create a platform in which you still want them to give 100% effort, but there's less incentive. Like, I've never seen an All-Star game where I'm walking into it, it's like, you know what? I'm going to give you what I got because you're not going to give me what you got. Guess what? Back in the days in the 80s and 90s, I get it, pre-social media, guys were trying to launch shoe campaigns and build brands off of the All-Star experience and dunk contest, in part why Jordan entered in the first place. Hey, you got that new shoe, rookie, go get it out there. But we're in a different place. We come with a platform, we come with a brand, and we could build it in a lot different places than in this meaningless, in the scope of things, All-Star bonanza that they're always trying to create.
I have no problem with exploring and looking at different avenues. I don't want to cut the season, though. I don't think we should go from 82 games. 82 games, it should be the staple. But you can explore other things.
Kawhi set out 19 games, I think, this year.
Okay.
Load management.
That's Kawhi. That's
cheating the fans.
That's what – but, it's not cheating the fans. You never know what's going on with his body, period, and trying to keep him ready for the playoffs and play into the season. Like, he's number 2-3 in the league right now.
It's
so
the new
let him
normal
have
for superstars.
They get, let him have it.
The superstars today are babies, okay? They all spoil. I played 3 years with a bone spur. I've never heard about load management, okay? And I was on teams where I was the main guy a couple years, and I played as much as I can, hurt or not. So they babying these guys too much now. You talking about taking 82 games, where you're already trying to take away back-to-backs and all that. Now the 82 games, like preseason, nobody takes preseason serious. Now, half the players would even take regular season serious.
And he's listen. Aware of that. Okay, and that's why he's trying to address
but,
it.
So, but it's always it, been babies.
No,
like,
no.
They've been babies.
And your people. Approach wasn't the best approach. Back in your days, y'all used to have tendonitis every other night.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying you
always been people, like, well, people sat out then.
The
people sit
approach.
Out
you
now. They ain't changed.
You could have played 3 more years, maybe.
I had no surgeries. Nothing in my whole
wear
career.
Wear and tear? Feeling,
I still play at a high level. Nothing.
Effect.
Nothing.
Yeah, but there were people like you then and people like you now. Here's people that play through injury and stuff like that.
I'm telling people to
not as
watch.
Much as we did.
I can't say that.
Not as much as when we played. You know that.
That's the people watch like saying that.
This entire interview is good. Adam Silver made the point because we're all caught up in this little bubble of player empowering, player. And he was like, it was very subtle the way he did it. This isn't a new problem. Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, they had too much power in their day. He talked about Wilt Chamberlain made Philadelphia make him the head coach and then left the next season. Mm-hmm. So there's always been a tug of war in the
NBA. They wasn't making $40 million off the court.
I get it. But they got into a position where they were too powerful, made themselves coach, then leave the team. There's always been this struggle, and he's aware of it. And part of the struggle now is getting players to commit to play the 82. They won't do it.
The power they had, you got guys that don't even play that got the same amount of power as Wilt and back then.
It's all relative.
Well, if a player that's not playing can get up and disrespect the coach, that's power. Mm. That's power. That's a lot of power.
Talking about Mike Beasley.
That's a lot of power. That's power that he has. So the game has changed a lot. And the power might not be all good, but the guys. The power might not be
all
good.
I've seen it myself. I've been in locker rooms myself when people not playing, disrespected the coach. I don't know how many teams you've been on, but I played in Memphis Grizzlies when we had a
publicly, though. He's talking about publicly.
But publicly, privately, whatever it is, the public is way more into, via social media, everything that's going on. Yeah. Somebody has more of an insight into the locker room.
Certain
now.
Locker rooms will accept, and certain locker rooms won't accept. I was on teams where we didn't accept that in the locker room.
So all I'm saying is you build the locker room appropriately.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Antonio Brown. Uncle Jimmy, wake up.
Wake up, man.
What's up,
hey, Jimmy? Man, look, I told y'all, man, I'm still soaked from the show we did last Thursday, man. You might want to send me home or something like that, word.
What?
Franco Harris jersey, Pittsburgh.
Who are you?
Oh, man, just call me Brown Antonio. You know what I'm saying? Call me the Brown Antonio.
Two
wide. All right, well, hold on. Let's get to a highlight from our discussion earlier about Antonio Brown. I got a little bit of a curveball.
Let's go.
I'm not sure he wants out of Pittsburgh. I think he's done these interviews trying to destroy his trade value.
Well, I think that his full motivation is to expose all the BS that is going on in his relationships with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's from upstairs all the way on the field. To expose them all.
All right, Uncle Jimmy. You got your Pittsburgh gear on today. What's your take on Antonio Brown?
Franco.
Man, I'm telling like my grandmother Lois Margaret said, hard head make a soft behind. And right now what's about to happen is the NFL about to put Antonio Brown over his knee. And they're about to whoop some sense into that ass. You looking at Dez Bryant 2.0, man.
Well, that's way too far. AB can still ball, like big time.
I'm talking about a mentality, Marcellus. Okay. AB and Dez both done took one too many shots from your boy Dez Burfict. Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah.
Hey. You remember when Vontaze hit AB? Put him down like a thoroughbred with a broken ankle. And AB ain't been right since. He got CTE. Looking all silly, man, gonna go on national wide TV with that blonde mustache. Man, he look like Old Dog from Menace to Society. Like he going to audition for a part in the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He lost in the sauce. Dead wrong.
So you saying he got CTE? That's the issue? Stop. Come on, man.
It's a special version of CTE. It stands for contract talk extension. Dez had it. Receivers start thinking about a new contract. It make them go crazy. Hey, Odell Beckham had CTE. Matter of fact, I know somebody you know that might have had it. You had it over at ESPN. That's how your ass ended up over here. Your mind's on your money on your mind.
You sound like you got a little CT. You look
oh,
like
oh, it. Oh, is that how we doing it?
You look like it.
Is that how we doing it? We gonna put that out in front of the public? All right, well, here, let's do it like this here.
What?
Tell y'all what. You and my nephew, if y'all don't get this money right, y'all don't get the dollars right on this next contract, Uncle Jimmy's, I'm gonna do y'all worse than Antonio Brown did Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlinson. This show is nothing without Uncle Jimmy. Y'all sitting up here, bro. Hey, y'all got me living in a studio apartment. This ha ha ha, the size of one of your walk-in closets. Real talk, Marcus. Come on now.
Look, man.
You gotta earn it.
You gotta pay dues.
Yeah, you gotta earn it.
You gotta pay.
Pay dues on these. I was paying dues for you was born, all right? Uncle Jimmy gonna get his paper right, or Uncle Jimmy gonna go crack these jokes over there with Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser at Parpinette Interruption. Y'all gonna pay me. You gonna pay me or you ain't gonna see me, one or the other.
You do have CTE.
Yeah, you got
it. I'm gonna go smoke some weed with Le'Veon Bell. You gonna do something.
Clinical. That's one thing we can agree on. You got CTE.
You clinical,
I kind of like that take.
All right,
let me get to my approval rating. This is the first time you've done Antonio
Brown. Come over and touch me if you want to, Darnell. I'm gonna knock you out.
Look, I've got him at a total of 72, 23 job performance, 23 all-time greatness, 22 authenticity. He's mighty authentic. A 4 in character. He threatened a good friend of mine, Jesse Washington, over at the Undefeated. I hold that against him. He's got a bunch of off-field
issues. Oh, he threatened my friend. Boy,
yeah, he's crazy.
My friend, I got to drop him in ratings.
He ain't got but 2. Him and Darnell. Hell.
I expected lower from you, Whitlock, so respect for that. We still got him in the same category. I got him a little higher. Everything's the same except the character. I really think he has a gripe. Maybe he's going about it the wrong way. He is going about it the wrong way, but he still has a gripe and an issue with his relationship with Ben Roethlisberger and others. So respect for him for going out there. 78, my man's an all-star.
I kind of like Uncle Jimmy's contract talk extension.
I like that too.
CTE.
Yeah. I spazzed out a little bit in the past before.
Hey, everyone. Jason Whitlock here. Thank you for listening to the Speak for Yourself podcast. I want to tell you about another podcast from Fox Sports that we're very excited about. It's Waltrip Unfiltered, featuring 2-time Daytona 500 winner, Michael Waltrip. Michael will be speaking with the biggest names in NASCAR each week and discussing the biggest storylines in the sport, like Daytona 500 winner, Denny Hamlin. Episode 1 is available already. Subscribe and listen to Waltrip Unfiltered right now. Let's get the show rolling.